welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to part two of this episode of Steelers Friday Night Six Pack. I'm your host, Tony Defeo. If you downloaded part one, I thank you for that. If you came back and downloaded part two, I thank you for that. And if you're watching me live and if you stuck with me, I thank you for that as well. We have Michael O'Malley joins us late, Steelers Pittsburgh. If I didn't get you already, Brad Jewett and Devin Logan, who joins us from Facebook, he says, I'm going to throw my TV out the window. Man, this game isn't like end all be all, like meaning it's not make or break. Of course, it's week three. It's not make or break. But a win would be nice. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, believe me. Trust me. I'm not trying to be like, oh, I'm a gloom and doomer, naysayer. Ha, ha, ha. I hope they lose. Believe me. I want them to win. I want them to win 38-3. I want somebody to send me a nasty email after the game or make a nasty comment on YouTube on the Hangover on Monday, tell me what an idiot I am for saying that they might lose to the Bungles at Heinz Field in week three. Believe me, I want that to happen. It's just the feeling I get based on what I've seen through two games. I kind of and based on the injury issues, it doesn't feel like it's going to be a great day on Sunday. You know, even if they win, it might be like one of those, you know, 17-14, 16-14 kind of wins where you're like, ah, they escaped with the victory, but I'm not feeling too good about their chances moving forward until they figure this offense out. And will they ever figure it out? That's the kind of win. If they do win, that's the kind of win I anticipate them having one of those. They won, but so what? All hope is lost. You know what I mean? Speaking of which, and that leads me into my next topic, and that's the eye test. And I wrote an article that was published on Thursday about the Steelers lagging behind both the Ravens and the Browns in the AFC North in terms of just overall performance and how they look through, how all three teams have looked through 3 weeks. And people gave me trouble, crap for that, which I anticipated, right? And the general refrain was they're all 1-1, meaning all four teams, even the Bengals, are 1-1 so far through 2 weeks. And that's the bottom line. But I wasn't going for the bottom line like Stone Cold. I was going for nuance. I was going for nuance. And if you watch these three teams, I think, in my personal opinion, the Ravens and the Browns right now look like stronger teams than do the Steelers. And that's mainly due to the offense. And the offenses of the two AFC North foes. You know, of course, the Ravens, we know what their strength is, and that's running the football. And yes, they've had some injury issues with running backs, but they still managed to be really strong on the ground through two games. And yes, that's because of Lamar Jackson and his presence and his ability to tuck and run and make things miserable and for opposing defenses. But I mean, who cares if that's the reason why they're able to run the ball? The bottom line is they're able to run the ball, and that's their identity. Lamar Jackson is their identity. He's been what's been causing all this, to quote with Ric Flair, for the past 3+ years, as far as they're concerned. He's the reason that their offense has been so potent. And it looks like it's going to be the same deal again in 2021 with or without J.K. Dobbins and these other running backs that have been hurt. Lamar Jackson's going to keep their offense functioning pretty much close to how it has since he's been their starting quarterback. And, you know, they scored 36 points last week. And a lot of people say, well, they got lucky. They got lucky because Patrick Mahomes fumbled at the end. Otherwise they may have lost. And that's true. But again, it's not about the results so much. It's just about the eye test and how strong they look as a team. And the Ravens have played two close games, and they're 1-1, same as the Steelers, but the Ravens just look more capable. And even the Browns. The Browns, to me, look like the best team in the division right now after 2 weeks. They gave the Chiefs all they could handle in the first week at Arrowhead Stadium. If not for a Nick Chubb fumble, if not for the punter fumbling a snap, they probably win that game. And so you can't count on those kind of things happening week in and week out in order for the Browns to lose. They're not going to keep losing that way. And they just, their offense just looks far more complete than does the Steelers. Baker Mayfield, he might not be a MVP candidate anytime soon, but he looks like a pretty darn capable quarterback with a lot of talent, a lot of ability. He has decent receivers. He has a couple of great tight ends. Well, I shouldn't say great, a couple of really good tight ends. And the best running back tandem in the NFL, Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. And, oh, by the way, that offensive line is exceptional. So the offense looks like it might have the ability to be the best in the NFL before the year is out. So, you know, the Browns and the Ravens, they both look like they are capable of doing some things. You know, like how they say in golf, that'll play. Well, the Ravens and the Browns, they both look like they have offenses that will play for the remainder of the 2021 season. And when you compare them to what the Steelers have right now, it looks like night and day. And it might be like comparing apples to oranges, but it kind of reminds me, the Steelers on offense right now, they kind of remind me of the Steelers on defense right after that last Super Bowl appearance, Super Bowl 45 in 2010. They were still stout. They were still good against the run. They still were capable of finishing number one. I think they did both in 2011 and 2012. But they just did not have that explosiveness. They weren't able to get after the quarterback. They averaged like 35 sacks a year. They weren't able to take the football away anywhere. They weren't opportunistic on defense. In 2011, they finished with 15 takeaways, even though they won 12 games. It was really, really crazy. And for the next, 5-6 years, they averaged 19 takeaways a year, which is just not going to get it done. And, of course, they continued to average 35 sacks a year. And if you remember the defenses of the day, the prominent defenses, I should say, the Seahawks defense, the 49ers, of course, the Ravens, the Broncos, they all looked like they were far more explosive, far more opportunistic, right? And of course, they were some of the strongest contenders of that era, whereas the Steelers really weren't. So, you know, people would argue with me back then, well, how can you say this defense isn't capable? They finished number one in yardage. They finished number one against the run. Yeah, but they also looked a step or two slow. And if you remember, this is when guys like James Ferrier, Casey Hampton, they all started to retire or get released. After that 2010 season, those guys just did not look the same anymore. James Ferrier didn't look the same. Casey Hampton, of course, didn't look the same anymore. Even Troy and Ike Taylor, those guys, they kind of regressed. They got old. It happens in sports. And unfortunately, it sometimes happens all at once. And the reason why I say it, I know it's not apples to oranges, or it's not apples to apples, and it's more apples to oranges, because the Steelers' offense right now is not an old offense. They have an older quarterback in Ben, and they have a bunch of young skill position players and a young offensive line. So it's not exactly the same thing, but it's kind of the same thing, because you don't know what you have with this offense right now, and you don't know if it's ever going to be good, right? That's the thing about players or units or teams that are on the rise or on the decline. You just don't know what you know. You don't know if they are on the rise until they prove it, and you don't really know they're on the decline when they're on the decline, if that made any sense. You know, they kind of look the same. Like a team that's on the decline or a player that's on the decline, they kind of look like they did when they were on the ascent, right? You know, there are a lot of hiccups, a lot of uncertainty. And again, you don't really know until you know. So with this offensive line especially, It's completely different with the exception of Shooks Okorafor from what they had last year. So you don't really know at this point what you have with this line, and you're not going to know until they prove that they're capable. And they might never prove that they're capable. That's just the reality of it because they're new. So it is apples to oranges when you're talking about an old defense from a decade ago compared to a young offense, mostly young offense now. But still, they don't look anywhere near as good as these other offenses I just talked about. Like, you name any good offense around the league right now, they don't look to be in the same universe. So, you know, I realized what I said a couple weeks ago, even last week after the Bills game, about how this team is the defense is too good for this team to fall off the table in 2021. And I still believe that. Provided they're healthy, I still believe the Steelers are, their defense is too good for them to be like a 4 or 5 win team this year. I just don't see it because defense makes up for a lot. However, after 2 weeks, I'm kind of leaning to, I said, what did I say off season, by the way? This is like a team that can finish anywhere between 7-10 and 11-6. And right now, based on how this offense has played through 2 weeks, which looks a lot like it performed last year over the second half, this looks closer to an 8 or 9 win team. So I think they're still in that, they're right in that range that I thought they would be. But, you know, I was hoping the offense would perform a little bit better after 2 weeks. So I could say that this is a 10 or 11 win team. They might get there. They might start to improve. But right now, this looks like a team that might be an 8 or 9 win team. Because we saw it 2 years ago, right? We saw how good a truly dominant defense was when it was paired with a truly awful offense. And that's what we have right now. We have a great defense that's being paired with an awful offense. And what do you get out of that? You get around 500, right? So it's funny, like people talk about the Browns and the Ravens and how their defense isn't as good as the Steelers. So they think that makes things even. But, you know, if you remember, think back to like the mid-2010s, right? When the Steelers had this juggernaut of an offense and they had a kind of a mediocre defense. And then the Ravens, between like 2013 and 2017, they had a hard time making the playoffs, but they had a great defense. They, as always, they had a pretty darn good defense. They had always had great special teams. They just had a really average to below average offense. But because their defense and special teams were so good, they were always able to kind of stay in it and win 7, 8, 9 games and be in the playoff race until the final week of the season. But did you ever think of them as a true contender for the Lombardi after that 2012 run when Joe Flacco went out of his mind in the postseason and won them a Super Bowl and won himself a lot of money? Did you ever really truly consider them a contender over that half decade stretch until Lamar Jackson took over halfway through the 2018 season? I don't think anybody did. But the Steelers, with their mediocre defense, with Ross Cockrell and those guys playing in the secondary, with Anyway, those guys playing in the secondary, Bryce McCain, William Gay, I can go on. With that all-pro offense of theirs, with the Killer Bees and that offensive line, they were considered to be true Super Bowl contenders. They just needed their defense to be kind of mediocre. All right. Whereas right now, when you're looking at the Steelers' offense, it doesn't look mediocre. It looks pretty darn awful. So it just doesn't seem like, even though their defense has the potential to be dominant again, it doesn't seem like they can really be true contenders. But it's early. It's early. And when I wrote that article the other day, I was just going by my feelings after 2 weeks. You know, when you're doing this kind of thing, whether it's podcasting or writing, you can't just like maintain your opinion week in and week out and maintain your stance week in and week out. You have to react to what you see each and every week. So that's what I was going by when I wrote that article. It's not that I'm being inconsistent and being a hypocrite or whatever you want to call it. It's just that I'm collecting data each and every week. I'm collecting feelings and thoughts each and every week. and I'm collecting results each and every week, and I'm weighing my opinion based on that. So as of right now, it looks like the Ravens and the Browns are better teams than the Steelers. But if that offense can ever even become slightly above average, it might be a different story. But that's a big if at the moment. But I'm still holding out hope. So with all that being said, I think it's time to open things up to some questions and comments to round out the show, as is my custom every Friday night. And let's see. Brad Jewett says, care to guess what his injury is? I'm not sure who you're talking about. So I know Deontay Johnson had a knee injury. Highsmith had a groin injury. Of course, Watts dealing with a groin injury. Alualu unfortunately broke his ankle. Oh, and Steeler Chick 46, who, by the way, welcome to the show. She answered Brad's question. So I spoke too soon. And Christopher 11, who also is new to the show, he says the Steelers will win Sunday. I guarantee it. And he's quoting Joe Namath. And I hope we're in a position at the end of the year where some Steeler is making all the fans and the media angry for guaranteeing a Super Bowl win, Super Bowl victory. Wouldn't that be something? And I nominate you, Juju, because that would really be the perfect combination of a player and who has the ability to draw the ire of the fans. All right. Christopher 11 again says, I believe Coach T, Coach Mike Tomlin, understands that you have to work out all the kinks in September, then go on a run. Well, there's no question. There's no question. They're still finding themselves through 3 weeks. It's not that, as I said, the team that you see in week one is going to be vastly different than the team you're going to see in October and November and in December. So that you know, is where the uncertainty comes in, and that's where you have to wonder if these guys are ever going to get it together as far as an offense. Like the defense, when healthy, the defense is, I think it's the track record's there. We know what this defense is going to be, but this offense, you just don't know, because it's been the same thing week in and week out. And you have to almost rely on a perfect day for this team to win. If you're going to play it that way, if you're going to play a 17-14 kind of game every week, well then that you're going to need a bounce or two to go your way. And it's not always guaranteed, right? It's not always guaranteed. You know, when you're capable of doing a lot on offense, well that can make up for a lot of stuff too. Just like a great defense can make up for a lot of stuff. A great offense can make up for a lot of stuff. So Just Me says, like I said, Ben will try and go in and play through another injury. He'll take a hit and realize he's injured, and in comes Mason. Well, you know what I think is going to happen? I think Ben's going to tough it out for four quarters, because that's what Ben does. That's been his modus operandi. Is that the right way to say it? His entire career. Remember that one game? Oh God, it was about 10 years ago. He had a broken, fractured foot, and he came in and threw 5 touchdowns against the Titans. I think it was the Titans. Remember that he was carted off the field against the Bengals at the end of that wild card game 5 years ago, and he came back in and kind of orchestrated, with the help of Vontaze Burfict, that game-winning field goal drive. And then the next week he played lights out with a supposedly a separated shoulder against the Broncos. They lost, but he played really well. So I anticipate Ben at least playing four quarters on Sunday. And who knows, maybe he'll go out there and throw 5 touchdown passes. Wouldn't that be something? Lifelong fan says the Steelers have only played 2 games against 2 good teams. Yes, they have. But some of the things you've seen through 2 weeks are what you were seeing last year against not so good teams like the Bengals. The Bengals kind of kicked the snot out of them in the third to last game of the year. You know, the Colts, who didn't make the playoffs, but they weren't a juggernaut. They came in here and had a 17-point lead, and Pittsburgh had to come back late to win. The Washington football team, who made the playoffs, but as a, what, sub 500 or a 500 division winner, they weren't that great. They came in here and won. So, you know, it's not about who the competition is right now, or even dating back to last year. It's about how the Steelers have basically looked the same week in and week out, and they're making every defense look like the 85 Bears, you know, with the scheme and the strategy that these opposing defenses are able to use against this very predictable offense. They all look dominant. That's the thing. They all employ what they all crowd the line of scrimmage. They take the middle of the field away. They force Roethlisberger to throw it deep and try to hit passes down the sideline. And, you know, if he's not doing that, he's throwing little 2-yard passes or passes behind the line of scrimmage. It's the same formula each and every week. And Pittsburgh has not been able to solve that yet. So it's not about the level of competition that I'm worried about right now. It's about their identity and how they don't really have one on offense other than bad. That's their identity, bad on offense. Hopefully that changes. And Rajan says that Mason Rudolph, he will not survive behind this line of scrimmage. Well, he's probably a little bit more mobile than Ben at this point, which, you know, is, I don't know if it's saying a lot or not, but yeah. Mark Tobin says, I think Mason can beat the Bengals if called upon. Honestly, not that the stage is not too big. Well, yeah, I'm not worried about that, but I don't think it's going to come to that. I think Roethlisberger is going to play the whole game. All right. A lot of Mason Rudolph talk all of a sudden, but I don't think it's good. But even if Ben has been cleared to play, so I don't know where all the Mason Rudolph talk is coming from, but I think Ben's going to play on Sunday and play the full game. And George Rice says, looking at our schedule, the Steelers schedule, where's the next 7 wins? It's a rhetorical question. I don't see it. I've been watching them since the early 70s. Longtime fan. They look like one of the bad ones. Yikes. That's my fear too. I've been hopeful. I was really excited after that Buffalo win. I mean, I was super, you saw me last week. You saw me on the hangover. I was giddy, but it's like an accumulative thing. When you see the offense continue to do the same thing, it kind of makes you realize like, geez, you know, every week's going to be like it was in 2019 now. And at the end of last year, and they're going to have to pull out all these low-scoring games, and it's really hard to do in the modern era of professional football. I mean, you can get away with that in the 1970s, the, you know, 13-10 wins and the 16-10 wins and 10-7 wins week in and week out. Even in the 90s, you can win some games like that on a regular basis. But nowadays, it's really hard to ask a defense, even a great defense like the Steelers have, provided they're all healthy. It's hard to ask them to go out every few minutes after your offense keeps going 3 and out. It's hard to ask them to continue to go out there and be dominant. You know, even Troy Polamalu said one time, even the best defenses can be exposed if they're on the field too long or too often. You know, the offense and the defense often work hand in hand, you know. And if a defense is on the field for 35, 40 minutes and the offense continues to see its tendencies and how it lines up in certain situations, you know, it makes it easier to beat. It makes it easier to diagnose, you know. And what we've seen through 2 weeks is the offense doing virtually nothing in the first half, right? 3 and out, turnover, whatever. And, you know, the defense can only withstand that kind of ineptitude for so long before it breaks down. Even a healthy defense is going to break down eventually. Again, especially today when everything's catered to the offense. So, again, the key to Sunday's victory or Sunday's game is you have to get after Joe Burrow and you have to do what you do to him what you did to Josh Allen in week 1, and that's dominate the line of scrimmage and make his life uncomfortable and get in his face and be at his feet and all those things that quarterbacks hate. And that's going to be a lot easier to do if TJ Watt's in there. If TJ Watt's not in there, then it might be another one of those things where, yikes, you know, this young quarterback looks pretty darn good. So let's hope it doesn't come to that. Oh, wow. I missed the super chat. And this is from Monster 19. And he donates $4.99. We thank you for that. Sorry, I missed it. And then he says, let's be optimistic. The team needs work. Yes. But we're always in it at the end of the season. Here we go. There you go. That's an optimistic fan. And we all hope you're right. But thank you for the thank you for the $4.99. That was very generous. Justin Gall says, and he's joining us from YouTube, he says, defenses are going to stack the box until the Steelers can throw the ball middle of the field and hit deep post digs and outs. Then we need the line to hold their blocks to give Najee a chance to find holes. It's very astute. And actually, the receivers have been called into question their route running the last couple weeks, at least the last week anyway, and how they all seem to be running the same routes week in and week out. I remember talking to somebody in the early days of the Hangover with Brian, or I forget what it was called back then, but when we did it on the phone. And the one guy who called in from New Jersey all the time, and he always said, look, the Steelers don't really run creative routes. Where's their route tree? Why aren't they utilizing the traditional route tree? And a lot of people have said that this week about them. And they're certainly not utilizing the middle of the field. That's definitely a thing. Everything seems to be on the periphery as far as passes. They're more what horizontal than they are vertical. And even when I do go, vertical, it's right down. It's down the line, the sideline, you know, no post, nothing in the middle of the field. You know, people were giving Chase Claypool a hard time for not coming down with these 50-50 balls last week, and rightfully so, maybe. But, you know, these receivers, you know, not every pass has to be a 50-50 ball. You know, where's the separation? Where's that, you know, those catches where the opposing fan base is going, why is he always wide open? Every time he's always wide open, there's nobody around him. You never see Steelers receivers catching passes that way. There's always like five guys behind around him, it would seem. So yeah, there really has to be some way that this offense can be more creative and unpredictable, which was why Matt Canada was brought in here in the first place. But you know, again, until they figure out that line, it might be a lot to ask. So excuse me. All right. And Rhino Tool checks in. And he says, of Jeffrey Benedict, he did a great film breakdown the other day. He says, Jeffrey did a great article on how the offensive line looks close to being competent. Well, there's some hope. They were just missing assignments. And they were this close to, I read that article the other day, or this morning, Friday morning. And he's right. And that's the problem with youth. It's kind of like, when you have veterans that are on the decline, it's the same kind of mistakes. You're missing assignments. You're a step too slow. And that's how the offensive line looks right now. The only question is, does it have an in it to take it to the next step? We hope it does. So hope for continued growth and continued improvement with this offense and continued dominance with the defense. And of course, health with the defense. Ah, there it is, Monster. I'm gonna highlight it. There you go. That's the super chat he sent over, and I missed 5 minutes ago. And he says, "Let's be optimistic. The team needs work, yes, but we're always in it until the end of the season. Here we go." Well, I think they have that kind of defense too. It's just the problem is, it might just be that defense just might be good enough to keep them in it and nothing else. And nothing more. And Lumberzack asks, Tony, do you think they let Shooks ride the pines when Banner comes back? At this point, yes. And the way Max Crosby kind of handled him on that one play last week, I don't think he shoved him on his back and he shoved him into Ben's feet. I don't think he's capable of being a starter right now. I think Banner will get the chance. But the thing about Zach Banner that's kind of concerning is he's only played one game or started one game, and it wasn't even a full game because that was the game he got hurt, week one of 2020. So we don't really know about him. And like I said before, we do know that competition for the right tackle spot was supposedly pretty darn close in 2020 before they broke camp. So I don't know what that says about Zach Banner, but I do think he's going to get the chance to start, and Chooks will be the swing tackle once Banner is healthy enough to play. If for no other reason, then he's apparently better at run blocking than Okorafor is, and he has that demeanor that matches or is closer to matching Kendrick Green and Dotson and Dan Moore and even Adrian Clem, the coach. So I think Banner will get the nod, at least initially, once he comes back. And on that note, at the 9:53 mark, I will say goodbye to you all. It was a fun, productive show. We even got a super chat in there, which I'm thankful for. It was fun talking to you guys. It was fun venting and explaining myself over my articles and my feelings and how I'm not just going to have the same opinion week in and week out. It's going to change, and it's going to be based on what I see and what the Steelers are doing. If I had the same opinion each and every week, it would be boring, wouldn't it? I wouldn't have to write any articles or even do any podcasts. So hopefully my opinion next week is, wow, these Steelers are going to the Super Bowl. I can feel it. We'll see. But on that note, have a great weekend and enjoy the game. Hopefully it's a win and a 2-1 start. And I'll talk to you on Monday on The Hangover with Brian and Shannon White. Until I talk to you again, go Steelers. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Oh, how it rips me, but love makes me live for tomorrow.